On the show today, we have Breaking Bank's Brett King talking about his latest book, Augmented, Life in the Smart Lane. So check it out. Fun here. All right, here we go. All right, if you're ready, I'm ready. Here we go. A three, a two, a one. Hey, whoops. Hey, everybody. Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome to our show. And on today's program, we have Mr. Brett King, your author, speaker, innovator. What's next? Astronaut? Lumberjack?
I don't know. I think I might, now that Trump's been elected, I think I might move to Mars with Elon Musk. So.
That would be an adventure for sure, sir. Hey, we're talking about quite a few things here, Brett. We're talking about your recent book you just wrote, one that might be in the works, and another kind of a cool innovation that you guys are doing with Movin'. So let's start with your Augmented. Let's start with your book, Augmented. You just held it up there for a second there, if you could show everybody again. And that is selling quite nicely on Amazon right now. So what's it all about? Give us a quick 411 on Augmented.
So this is not a banking book. There is a chapter on banking, and I do talk about banking and payments in the book. But this was really sort of my early attempt at merging the world of technology, business, and science fiction, sort of bridging those worlds. You know, short term predictions in terms of how tech is going to change the world. Mm-hmm. Something that I like to talk about. So really, this book was just something I would like to read.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun stuff. I just saw. Pardon me for interrupting, but I just saw this video on Amazon Go, the new, I mean, I know you all know all about it. I mean, this is really some cool stuff that's coming down the turnpike here.
So we talk about, this was prior to Amazon Go. We talk about removing the checkout from stores and automated payment systems and things like that in the in-store experience. We talk about, you know, there's four big disruptors we talk about that are just going to change the way we live over the next 20, 30 years. Yeah. Number one being artificial intelligence, and robotics is sort of a subset of that because every robot has some, you know, machine intelligence. Mm-hmm. And then we talk about embedded technology experiences. So this is where technology infuses the world and starts to change the way we think about interactions. It changes our daily life. I'll dive into that in a bit more detail. Sure. Health tech and gene editing, in terms of radical changes to the way we think about our own healthcare and treatment and so forth. And then fourth, sort of tying this all together, smart cities, smart infrastructure, smart companies, you know. Mm. So these are the sort of big four disruptors we talk about that will really radically change society and the way we live. And, you know, while the Brexit and Trump have been blamed on globalization as sort of an issue, part of the very real threat here is the shift towards automated societies. Mm-hmm. And automated economies, and the fact that that dramatically changes employment mix, and it renders a lot of the training and education that we've had in the post-industrial revolution world, mute. You know, that it doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've got all these kids right now in universities being trained as lawyers and accountants, and and as doctors. Mm-hmm. And so. And, you know, we're gonna start to see some very radical shifts in employment patterns in those industries as a result of technology, artificial intelligence, mm-hmm. Sensors and diagnostic equipment, you know, et cetera. And we're not training our kids for the right thing. And so they come out of university, or you've got someone who's coming out of a coal plant, because it got shut down because, you know, we're moving to green energy and saying, we need to bring back our coal jobs. And, you know, then we have this, we have someone run on a ticket of bringing back big oil and coal.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's actually not a solution because within 10 years, solar will be 1/10 the price of coal for generation. And so an economy built on that would ultimately not be competitive.
Right.
So you can talk about bringing those jobs back, but what you should talk about instead is say, we need to retrain these people so they can still be employed. Mm-hmm. Not let's bring back coal jobs, because that is not a solution for the economy. It's never going to be a solution.
Yeah, that's like an 18th century, 19th century business, basically. And so we're evolving to other things that are more efficient and cleaner for our environment.
Look, forget the whole climate change argument. Forget forget the argument about the fact that a third of all healthcare costs in the U.S. are related to pollution. Forget that.
Okay.
Just look at the economics. If you're paying right now in the United Arab Emirates and Qatar, we just signed contracts, 20-year energy generation contracts on solar at 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now, in the U.S., the average price of coal generation is 6 cents. So already
makes sense.
Solar is a third of the price mm-hmm. of coal. And we're seeing that we're seeing a doubling in capacity of solar every 2 years, very similar to Moore's law. So you extrapolate that, we're going to be paying 50 cents per kilowatt hour by 2025, and coal is not going to change in terms of the price. Coal doesn't get cheaper to pull out of the ground,
right? That's true. It's a lot of labor.
Yeah. And so, you could use robotic labor and so forth, but still there's a flaw to the price that you can pay for coal.
Still and expensive,
Yeah, 50 cents. So ultimately, solar is the only way you can go if you want to be a competitive economy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Start investing in that. So you have now China and India, massive investments in solar because they want to be a smart economy. They want smart infrastructure. You've got countries like Dubai and Singapore. Dubai's not a country, it's a state, an emirate. But, you've got these cities massively investing in new infrastructure, autonomous transport networks, solar energy, these sorts of things, telecoms. In the U.S., we've got crumbling roads and bridges and things like that. And it's not just in the U.S. From my home country in Australia, there's massive problems with this as well because mm-hmm. they've favored coal because China was pulling, was relying on Australia for resources and was stimulating the economy. But the economy's changing.
Mm-hmm. Everything is. And I don't know about your neck of the woods, but out here in San Diego, solar is everywhere. Because we live in a sunny society, a sunny area of the country here, but it is everywhere. It's almost like every other house has a solar panel on its roof. My daughter's school just installed these giant solar panels throughout the entire parking lot. It is sweeping.
Google is going to be a net producer of energy. They're going to be 100% renewable by 2020, and actually it might be 2018, I have to check, but and they're actually going to be producing more energy than they can use I think this is the pattern, but it's not just clean energy. When you start looking at artificial intelligence, AI is going to be an even bigger disruptor.
Mm-hmm.
Joking before the election, I was on CNBC and I said, listen, if you don't like immigrants taking your jobs, you're going to like robots taking them. But we have a pretty dramatic shift here. And AI, we're starting to see it emerge in terms of smart assistants on our phones or, Alexa, Google Home, mm-hmm. these sorts of technologies. This is going to be a pretty radical shift in terms of our interaction with organizations and service providers, because we're going to delegate a lot of that to these, AI agents that we have mm-hmm. built ecosystem around us. When you get in your car in the future, because your car will be smart and will have a smart assistant in it, you'll say, hey, look, take me to that Chinese restaurant we like in New Haven.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it, but I've been there before. And I don't know what that is, right? And you'll get there and there'll be a reservation in your name, and then you'll go and eat your dinner and you'll come out and the payment will be automated because you know who you are. And this sounds a little bit like science fiction, but we have the tech to basically do this today, and that's going to be pretty advanced. But now you've radically simplified, that sort of process. Now I start to delegate to my AI booking airline tickets mm-hmm. or booking tickets or doing certain things that, for example, a personal assistant would have done previously. I don't need someone to handle reservations at the restaurant anymore. Maybe I need a meet and greeter, but the reservation system is all automated between the restaurant's AI and your AI. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a pretty radical shift in the way technology changes interactions. So we have to redesign the world based on these technology interactions. Even just a simple thing like in terms of how we think about healthcare, I could wear in the future an Apple Watch or a smartwatch with a $50 sensor on my wrist that in 2 years' time will be able to predict that I'm going to have a heart attack. Now, that, in 2 years we'll have tech that will be able to do that, and it'll get better and better, but in 10 years' time, this is we're talking about a radical shift in the way we think about coronary care, because now it's not you get chest pains, you go to the doctor. Now we can actually prevent this from happening. Mm-hmm. Now, in the United States, a heart attack in California or New York will cost you $90,000 unless you have health care. That's the cost of a cardiac event, right? Now I can buy a $50 sensor on my store in my clothing, and I can buy a subscription service, and that prevents a $90,000 event from occurring, right? And you know what? It turns out it's better to prevent a heart attack from happening than treating it when it does.
I concur there.
This is a pretty radical shift. Now, if I can predict 3 months out you're going to have a heart attack, then I send you to the doctor. The doctor puts you on statins, they put you on blood thinners, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. If I can predict that 9 months out, then I send you to a nutritionist and a personal trainer. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is a radically different approach to healthcare. And this is just in this one area. Then you've got gene editing, where you've got diseases like Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, cystic fibrosis, hemochromatosis, breast cancer, et cetera. All genetic conditions, which in the future will just edit out of your DNA like a bug in a software program.
Ay, ay, ay. That's awesome and scary at the same time.
It is. And now what does that do to the pharmaceutical industries that are producing Alzheimer's and Parkinson's drugs that are spending billions of dollars on?
Bye bye.
So we're going to go through a lot of changes. So augmented was really about an optimist view of the future, with lots of disruption still coming down the pipe.
Yeah, I'm listening to you say all this stuff, and no doubt all this stuff is going to happen, but for just somebody like me, or probably a lot of people out there, it's like I said before, it's awesome and it's scary at the same time.